Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. Again, glad to be with you guys. We are in our last week of Audience of One. As I've told you guys, for those who have been here or those who maybe have missed the past couple of weeks, just kind of catch you up. Audience of One is hopefully getting our focus back on, okay, where is my walk as a Christian focused? You know, where is my drive? Where is my attention going? Yeah, am I going to church to please myself, to get on the checklist, to feel good, to feel as if, okay, I've done my part? Or am I doing this solely out of a love and a devotion to the audience of one that I serve, which is God alone? And it's a question that we kind of take for granted, even as pastors. It's easy to go through the motions of church and of, you know, our duty, our responsibilities, using our gifts, but sometimes that audience shifts to either the congregation, to our friends, to other staff. And then as Christians, we can easily get our shift focused to, well, at least I'm pleasing my family. At least they see that I'm doing the right thing or trying to do the right thing, instead of the focus being on God. So that audience of one has to be our focus, has to be our drive. And really what it comes down to, if we're going to have that force, that driving determination in our lives, which is God, our only audience, our only focus, we have to focus on prayer. And that's why I wanted to show that video, because it's a question we all ask, you know, well, what is prayer? How do I pray? You know, what does it look like if I have a strong prayer life? Because even as Christians, a lot of us have questions about how to go about it. Am I doing it right? Is it making a difference? So if that audience of one is ever going to be fully established in our lives as God, as our drive, as our, you know, source of motivation and strength, then we have to have that fellowship, that communion, that conversation with God. And that only happens through prayer. And there's one quote that I really think that hits home. It was John Maxwell. He said that the detonator that churches lack today is prayer. It has the power to ignite the dynamite of the gospel and powerfully shake the world. In other words, prayer has the power to bring about the change that we say we want. Prayer has the power to make us the people we say we want to be. Prayer has the power to get those relationships that we say are on shaky ground back on a firm foundation. Prayer has that ability for a church to become explosive in its community, in its world, in its setting, with its surrounding, with its people, with people that don't care about church. Prayer can make an individual Christian and a church become something that is noticed and is seen and is changing lives because of Jesus Christ. So if a church is not praying, then where is that explosive power coming from? A lot of times we focus on that inward strength. Well, I'm gifted, or my pastor's decent enough, so that's enough for our church to grow. But without power, I mean prayer, that power is never going to be seen. Without focusing on God first, our audience of one, instead of saying, well, the town knows who we are, the people know who we are, they've seen Access Point, they've got the pins, they've got all the chapstick, they've got all the t-shirts, they've seen Access Point. But that's not enough to actually become that force of change, that dynamite to help the gospel grow, and that gospel is what's going to change people's lives. So as Access Point, we have to rely on prayer, both as your as staff, as your leaders, as ministers, but also each and every one of us relying. And that's why I've told you for the past, what's it now, 3 months, we've done our prayer campaign. And it's because that step is such a huge step. As any step should be followed through in prayer, that is one that has to be, you know, really focused and forced upon, that we're focusing on God first, His will, His drive, His vision, only through prayer. And so that's just one example, but the church has to do it in every aspect, in every element. You know, when we call new elders and deacons and leaders, and when we ask people to, you know, to step up and volunteer, we ask them to pray about it, because it is a crucial element. But really, the truth is, when you survey both Christians and non-Christians, the sad truth is there's only about just over half of people that say they pray every day. That's including us as Christians. That's 55% of Americans say they pray every day. 21% say it's a weekly or at least a monthly thing. And then there's 23% that say it's seldom or never. So in other words, if I get in a bind, you know, I'll throw up a prayer, you know, just as a Hail Mary pass, see what happens. You know, I'm not relying on it, but if it's needed, I'll sling it out there, see what happens. You know, ladies, you are a little more prone to prayer than us guys, maybe because you're smarter than us. You know, I'll give you credit on that one. Maybe it's just smarter. Maybe you got more common sense. Maybe you're more spiritual. Or maybe you're just better than men. I don't know. But 64% of you ladies pray as compared to only 46 of us men that pray. So, men, we got to tighten up. It's not a race with women. It's a race for our own spiritual lives. It's a realizing that, man, I've been relying on my own strength to be that source of dynamite and change when I've had the power through prayer to do it, but I just haven't relied on it. And then as we get older, we become a little more focused on prayer. Adults 65 and older, you know, those adults are 65% of those are praying. And then those of us, well, not us anymore, I'm not under 30, but those who are under 30, only 41% of you pray. And that's a sad reality. You know, it's almost as if, well, when I get older, I'll get my prayer life right. I'll get right with God. And a lot of times we take that next day, that next breath for granted and forfeit a lot of things that we could have had in our lives. And so prayer has to be something more than just 55% of us in America do. It has to be something more for us Christians to do. Because if we're honest, sometimes prayer is simply wake up, thank for the day. Here's the, you know, lay me down to sleep prayer at the end of the day, or thank you for this food. And that's a prayer life. And we consider that okay. But the sad thing is those prayers are just snippets of a relationship. It's not a force for change in our lives, in our walk with God. You know, if we think that's going to change us, try doing the same conversations with your spouse. See if that changes your relationship. I got a feeling it's going to put you back on shaky ground or make that shaky ground crumble underneath of you. If all you do is, hey, good morning, good to see you. Hey, let's eat this meal together and good night. It doesn't work too well. But we do it with God, and as Christians, we think it's okay. And I've been guilty of the same thing. You know, pray when I need something, pray to say thanks and pray at meals. And I notice it affects our spiritual lives. I've noticed it in my life, and I've seen it in other people's lives. And a lot of times when I talk to couples about their shaky relationship, I ask them, well, are you praying together? And they're like, well, we've never done that. I'm like, well, how about we start? Because it does help. It helps bring the couple first to God, and then God brings that couple together through the power of prayer, because prayer will change things. We may not always like it, but it will change things indeed. And so looking at that survey, you know, we could say, well, at least over half are praying. At least we're doing somewhat good. So we assume that most are comfortable with prayer. Most of us Christians would, since we're praying, we're comfortable with it. We know how to pray. We know what to pray. Whereas the other half, though, they're just the ones that they don't care about it or they don't feel comfortable praying, so they don't. That's kind of what you would assume maybe with just looking at the bare numbers, just looking at the simplicity of that survey. But the truth is, even those of us who do pray, those of us who pray every day, if we are honest with ourselves and honest with God, we would say that I really don't feel comfortable praying most of the time, let alone praying in public. Don't ask me to do that. Or we say, I don't know exactly how to pray. No one ever taught me how to pray, the words to say. And so we lack confidence. And then we say, well, I prayed for this several years ago and I never saw an answer. So this unanswered prayer really turned me off from prayer. Or, you know, I don't know the proper way. That's, you know, I hear it time and time again that well, I don't know how to pray properly. But all we're doing is excusing, you know, a lack of desire or a lack of, you know, intimacy with God by saying, well, I just don't know how to do it. And my answer to most people with that is, well, do you know how to talk? Do you know how to make a conversation? And some of you say, I'm not very good at that either, and that's okay. But you know how to talk with those you love, those you're closest with. And that's what God wants. That's what he desires from each and every one of us. But of course, sometimes those one-way conversations, we turn them into something awkward when they shouldn't be awkward at all. But we use those excuses. And again, one of the biggest is the unanswered prayer excuse. And in fact, there is a writer, Leonard Griffith, in his Barriers to Christian Belief, he wrote and noted that one of the biggest barriers for Christians and even non-Christians is unanswered prayers. They put that as, well, I prayed for this for years. I prayed for healing. I prayed for, you know, for my loved one not to die, and God ignored my prayer. And so I left the faith. I left the church. And we use that as a way out, if you will. And we use it as a, you know, justification of a lack of prayer, or a lack of trust, a lack of faith, or a lack of attendance. And yes, I understand we tend to get discouraged. We tend to give up and drop out of the faith because of things not going our way. But just because things aren't going our way doesn't mean they're not going God's way. You know, God's way may be different. His will may look different. That change that he wants to bring may not be the change that we actually want. So we shouldn't be justifying a lack of faith or a lack of desire or no prayer life at all based on, well, I didn't get the answer I wanted. But again, many of us Christians have done that. And the reason is there's a lot of misunderstandings. There's a lot of, you know, failure to understand what prayer really is, even as Christians. And I understand growing up in church my entire life, a lot of it was, well, just pray. Well, what do you mean, just pray? Well, just talk to God. Well, what do you mean, talk to God? You know, as a kid, you ask these questions, and when you get the vague answer of, well, just do it, you know, I'm like, this isn't a Nike commercial. Don't tell me just do it. Teach me to do it. And we get left on the side, and it's not necessarily their fault, but it can be sometimes a failure of the church to really teach us or help us see that it's not something you have to teach. It's something that you invite them to, something that you tell them to treat as any other conversation. But many people have got this mindset that there's a proper way, there's a proper time, there's a proper stance, there's this formula, if you will. And so because we don't understand that formula and what prayer is, we give up or we barely pray at all. And we miss a lot of the power of prayer, miss out on a lot of the change that can be a part of our life because we don't understand it or we don't fully comprehend what prayer can be in our lives. And so that's why we ask again, you know, well, how do I pray? How does my Christian conversation with God look? You know, or even why pray at all? You know, you hear that from those who had unanswered prayers. They say, well, why would I pray? If I didn't get the answer I wanted the last three times, why am I going to do it the next 20? And we give up. We have those questions. And then we say, well, when do you pray? If I'm going to pray, when? Is there a time? Is there a special formula, special language? Is there something that I should use as my format of prayer? And then I'll be okay. Then I'll be covered. When we're overcomplicating prayer, we're overcomplicating that relationship with God. I mean, if I came to my wife and was like, look, I would love to talk to you, but I just don't know how to talk to women. And believe me, that's difficult in its own manner. But if I said, look, I don't know how to talk to you, that's why we haven't talked a lot lately. That's not going to go over well as much of an excuse. You say, well, you're going to have to learn quick, okay? You're going to have to learn how to talk to me and make this relationship work. You're going to have to work at making time, making an effort, actually showing me that you want to talk to me. But if I just say, well, I wish I knew how. If I did, I would pray. If you'd show me the formula, you know, then maybe I would talk to you all the time. If you'd give me the formula, give me the right times, tell me which way to face, tell me all the right things to do, then yes, I will converse with you all the time, even on where we're going to go eat, even though you don't know where we're going to go eat. We'll talk all the time. You know, we won't do that in our relationship. And that's why that example is so absurd. You know, there's no set schedule, no set formula for me talking to you, me talking to ones I love, me talking to friends. There's no set formula. And why would I? Then you would say, well, I'm talking to a robot. And that's what it becomes. It's like, wow, he's a telemarketer. I appreciate it. Thanks for the talk. It would be very impersonal. It would be very meaningless to you and for our relationship. And so why do we do the same things with God? We say, well, there's a set order, a set language. I need to, you know, learn the original languages so that I can properly talk to God. But Jesus says, look, I stand in between you and God. I help bring all the questions, all the concerns, all the doubts. I bring those into order so that God knows exactly. Because God already knows your needs. He just wants you to come before him. And God stands as that intermediary. And that's why there was a little girl praying one night. And her dad came across and she was just doing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Going, he's like, is she praying? She's down on her knees. So the next morning he asked, baby, I heard you were praying last night, but I heard you were just saying the alphabet. She said, well, when I run out of things to say or don't know what to say, I say the alphabet and let God put the words in order. And that's really what he does. She understood that regardless of her inability to pray or her lack of formulas, she knew that God knew my heart. God knew my needs. And if I just throw some letters out there, he'll formulate them together for his will, for his glory, and for my good. And if we could have that faith like that little girl and pray like that, I mean, how much would we benefit? How much would the church benefit if we could see that in our lives? But again, the truth is we ask these questions about prayer instead of approaching prayer as it should with confidence, with assurance that we're praying to somebody that wants us to talk to him. We're approaching a God, a creator that actually desires a conversation with us. But yet, instead of approaching him, we ask questions and we stand back and treat the questions as, well, that shows my curiousness, and therefore that is enough of faith, if you will. Just my curiousness, just my questions is enough, and it keeps that checklist in order. But the truth is, we're not the first to ask these questions. We're not the first one to question what is prayer or how to pray. You know, what's the formula? What's the set schedule? What is all this that we call prayer? We're not the first, you know, of people to ask about prayer. In fact, one great example is the disciples. They came up to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, they're saying, look, how do we pray like you pray? How can we have that power, that sense of communication, relationship with God that you have? How can we have that conversation that we just overheard you having with God? We want that. So how do we do that? But one thing that's really unique about this, and we find that question in Luke chapter 11, it's not after Jesus just gave this lecture on prayer. It wasn't after he led a seminar saying, well, this is prayer. And so they asked, well, how do we do it then? It wasn't after a powerfully preached sermon. It was none of that. Rather, in Luke 11, it says Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, they saw the power in his prayer. They saw how important prayer was to Jesus, and they saw in Jesus the answer to their question of how do we pray and why do we pray. They saw it lived out through his example, through his life, through his willingness and desire to pray. And so they were basically saying, look, how can I have that? How can I make that a part of my life? And another author wrote about this, Harry Emerson. He stressed this same thing, saying, if we look at the setting of Luke 11 and where this enlightenment came, he says, they didn't have this awakening until they saw the power of prayer in Jesus' life. In other words, they didn't see or understand a need for prayer fully until they saw how important it was to Jesus. They saw the example he lived. They saw the power it had in his life. And again, it wasn't after some sermon. It wasn't after a seminar. It wasn't after a lesson. It was simply after Jesus prayed. And after that, they said, how do we get in on this? How can we make this something that's a part of our lives? Because in Jesus, they saw that he prayed regularly, he prayed sensibly, and he prayed confidently. And when I say sensibly, again, he was simply talking to God. He was talking to his Father. He wasn't saying, well, here goes my formula, God. Here goes some obscure language. Here goes some strange set of words and phrases together to help you understand me better. No, he was praying sensibly in a way that is relatable to you and I, a way that is conversational in our day-to-day lives. That's how he prayed, and that's how he invites us to pray to God, the creator of the universe. And so Jesus is teaching us, taught his disciples and teaching us in turn that prayer is not this formula. It's not a set schedule. It's not a formal gathering, although prayer can be a gathering of people. But really, individually, it is a relational conversation with a God that we can call our Father. That is an amazing truth about prayer. It is not some formula. It's not some, here's how you do it. It's a conversation with the God who created us. God who created the universe that we're still trying to fathom and understand. God who created everything that we see and will never fully comprehend. He wants that relationship. He wants that conversation with us. So that's how he lays out this example. That's how he lays out what prayer is to his disciples and to us. And even after that, he does give a small example. It's not a formula, but he lays out a sample, if you will. And it's what we call the Lord's Prayer. That Lord's Prayer is found in Luke 11, but it's also in Matthew 6, where we were last week. So I want to pick back up on that, but adding in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 7 says, the world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with, and he knows better than what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. And this is when he lays out what is familiar with us. If you've played any sports, you've got it memorized. You said it before games. And I know before church ball, I remember for varsity football, we would say the Lord's Prayer. And it's okay to recite it, but it's not necessarily a formula that we have to follow. It's an example of what a prayer can be. That's when he lays out, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So you're familiar with this prayer, and that is a good thing. That is okay. But if all of our prayer life is reciting, you know, these words, then yes, we're still going to be lacking what a true prayer life, a true conversation would be. It's just like I said in your relationships. If all you did was come before your loved ones with a set conversation day in, day out, they're like, good talk, appreciate it. You know, great story, bro. Let's go on with our day. And that's all it is. That's all it becomes. So yes, this is something we can recite, but it's not something we have to. It is really the closest, yes, that the Bible gives us to a pattern for prayer, but it is not something you are forced to memorize and forced to recite. Many religions, many faiths give you a set prayer. Pray it at this time, pray it facing this direction, pray these exact words, and then your religious life will be okay. No, you can recite it, you can memorize it, and it's something I strongly encourage you to memorize if you haven't, but it is really an example of what should be in a prayer. Things like worship, things like trust in God, requests, confessions, and submission are all elements of the Lord's Prayer. And that's why Jesus laid it out saying, this is how you should pray. Adding these elements, making sure that they are part of a prayer. So that's, he's reminding us, look, prayer is not just about you. And it's not just about your needs. But it is about you in the small sense. He does focus on, yes, there are some needs. There are some things that I need to do, some things I need to confess, some things that I need in my life, some things that I need to do for other people. But it's also around God and mostly about God and glorifying Him. So we are to pray things like this. Pray using words similar to, but customizing it into our own journey with God, customizing it in a way that is conversational and is relational to God. Because the proper way to pray is to express our hearts to God. The proper way to pray is not, again, a formula. It's expressing your heart. And if all you're doing is a formula, then how much of your heart is actually coming out in your prayer life? Because God desires prayer to be real, to be personal, to be a connection between Himself and us. Formulas are far from relational, far from a connection. But if we're saying, God, I don't know how to pray, but I'm going to keep talking to you until I get it figured out, then He blesses that. He does see that we want a conversation. He sees that we're giving it the good try. We're giving it the effort because we know how important and how beneficial prayer life can be in our lives and in our relationship with Him, in our spiritual walk, in our Christian lives as a whole. So when we're giving an effort, making it personal, expressing our hearts, even when we say, God, look, I've been mad at you for years because you didn't answer my prayer. He wants to hear that too. And when you say, God, I don't understand your words. I sometimes have doubts. He wants to hear those too. But if you say, I have doubts, therefore I don't pray, we're giving up too soon. Those doubts should lead us to more prayer, lead us to our knees, lead us to saying, God, I need something more. I need more answers. I need these doubts erased. I need more knowledge of who you are so that I can be the man or woman you want me to be. Because God is far more interested in our hearts when we pray than He is in our words. And He will always be that way. We are to pour out our hearts to God, not simply recite those memorized words. Memorization is good, but that structure, that reminder of what prayer can look like is really what He wants. And then He wants those words to flow out from your heart in a meaningful, powerful way. Even if you say, Lord, I really have not understood prayer and why I'm doing this, but I want you to show me, then yes, He will answer that in time. But far too often, we've viewed, prayer and a prayer life as a magic formula. And if we're viewing it as a magic formula and we don't have it all together, don't know all the steps, then we're not going to do it. And some even believe that if we don't say the exact words, we don't pray in the right position, God won't hear us, God won't answer us. But that's completely unbiblical. There's nowhere in Scripture you're going to find that God tells you, this is how you must pray. This is how you must stand. This is how you must face. There's none of that. Prayer always goes back to a relational God, always goes back to a conversational God, because God does not answer our prayers based on when we pray, what position we're in, what exact words we say, because He answers us on His will, on His timing. And that's how we need to focus it, realizing that it may not always be, again, the change we want or the answers we want, but His prayers are being heard when we're pursuing Him, showing our faith in Him, and showing a desire to grow closer to Him. And that's why, really, again, all the Scripture you're going to find on prayer, yes, He gives us a format in the Lord's Prayer, but it's an example. And then other areas, He shows us what types of prayer, as far as how you come to God, more or less, how to approach God, and even the way we should feel when we come to God. That's why Philippians tells us to pray without being anxious. Pray about everything. Pray with thankful hearts. Pray to Him in a continuous way. Time and time again, Scripture is telling us, pray without ceasing. Continue to make your requests known to God. Continue to approach God. It's a lot of Scripture on this continuing. The ask, seek, knock, continuing to search after God, continuing to ask those right questions. Because the proper way to pray is to pour those hearts out, pour our minds out, and being honest and open with God, with our faults, with our failures, with our hopes and dreams, because He already knows them. He just wants us to come to Him. When He sees us coming to Him, He does grant our wishes, does grant some of the things we need if it's in His will and in His timing. It's not always going to be, well, I saw the $750 million jackpot. You know, that's not the prayers he's going to answer. But the prayers he's going to answer are those who are prayed in faith and prayed with the focus that, God, you're my audience of one. So, God, whatever happens, whatever that will is, whatever that drive is the rest of my life, I want it to glorify you. Those types of prayers, those things that we come to him knowing that he hears us, will be answered in his time and through our faith in him. Because prayer is all about expressing that love, that gratitude, and worship to God. It's not about worrying about having the right things to say or knowing what time to pray. He's more interested in the content than the eloquence of our words. There's no formula, and I'll repeat it time and time again. There's no set way, but there is a desire for God to have a conversation with us. Because prayer is about connecting with God. Prayer is about having a conversation with God, a Father who is real, the Creator who's out there who wants that communication. Prayer is always heard and answered in his will. And that's a lot of times where we get confused or we slip up and blame God. Prayer is not telling God things he doesn't know, but rather trusting in him to do what is best in our lives and to provide actually what we need. And then prayer is about lining ourselves up with God instead of lining him up with us. That's, again, what a lot of us, even as Christians, we say, allow your will to be done so long as your will is this job, is this school, is this career, is this man or this woman. Yeah, as long as you align it with that, my dreams, God, then we're good. Instead of doing that, we say, God, help me see your will, your vision. Help me see where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do, the way I'm supposed to live. Help me align my mindset, my behavior to that. But again, even with this understanding, it's still the questions of, well, why do we pray? Well, the greatest answer to me is we pray because we're praying to a Heavenly Father, a Heavenly Father who cares for us, a God who wants to meet our needs, who knows our needs and is waiting on us to ask those requests, waiting on us to reach out to him. His arms are always open wide to accept us, to receive us, to forgive us even. But it's our turn. It's our move. It's not just going to happen because we want it to. It's going to happen through a sign of faith and trusting in him and knowing that the way prayer works is because of the one we're praying to. Prayer is only going to work because we're praying to this Heavenly Father who wants to meet these needs and who wants to show concern and care in our lives. And we pray to a God who can make those needs a reality. Because prayer is based on this father-child relationship. And if we can get that and understand that, then I think prayer does become more personal. We see God as not just some higher deity that is, you know, striking down lightning when we do wrong or creating karma in our lives. You know, that's not the God we serve. Rather, he's saying, I want this father-child relationship. I want something personal. I want something that you have here in a sense on earth with those you love. And yes, you may not have the father figure that you know you may have desired, but know that you have one in heaven. You have a spiritual father, a godly father, a heavenly father that's so much better than any of us, even as the greatest dad. You know, my coffee cup this morning said best dad hands down, but I'm nothing at all compared to the type of father that God is to me, that God is to you. And if we see that, then yes, that prayer life becomes more personal. And so we pray in order to build that relationship, a relationship that can help us grow, help us to ease tension, help us relax those anxieties, the stress, helps us break free of those addictions, those struggles, even our deficiencies. Prayer helps create in us a heart that reflects who he is. In other words, prayer changes us. Prayer will make us something new, make us something better, because prayer bonds that relationship with God. It helps us see who he is, helps us see his will, and in seeing his direction, his focus, his desire, then our desires begin to shift to his. Our understanding of who we should be, how we should act, what we should say begin to shift to an understanding of how he created me to be. And by doing that, we become the people that God has called us to be. He strengthens those relationships that we've entered into and made promises before God and before our spouses. He strengthens those bonds. And prayer does that. Prayer will change if we let it, if we allow it. And sometimes we don't like change. We don't want change. But prayer will change. So if you don't want it, don't pray. I'll go ahead and tell you that. But if you want that change you've been begging for years, want to be released from that tension or maybe that struggle or that addiction, then the only way you're really going to ever break free is through prayer. Talk to any former addict. Talk to anybody who struggled with addictions. And they say, I was never able to fully let go until I gave it to God and I prayed to him. Because that prayer will change us. That prayer will make us the people we are longing to be. Because now our hearts and our focus is on God. So make sure that prayer isn't some formula, isn't some impersonal reaction to God, but is a personal communication with a Father who desires time with us, actually wants time with us. That's the God we serve. That's the prayer life he wants. And that's the prayer life that leads to change. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or have been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.